everything I buy these days has got a foreign name. From the kind of car I drive to my video game,
I got a Nikon camera, a Sony color TV.
But the one that I love is from the USA.
Hands up, here's OGB Nexus Music on Ear Hub. My best man, oh, come on, far. Here's DJ.
Oh, my independent women sing. Come on, let's go. Come on, yeah. Oh, my independent women sing. Come on,
let's get up, let's get down.
Come on, oh, my independent women sing. Come on, let's go. Come on, yeah.
Out to the music.
Oh, my independent women sing. Come on,
let's get up, let's get down.
Make you well. If you come to me hexed up, you know I'm gonna break the spell. If you call me hungry, gonna fill you full of grits. If it's loving you like and I'll kiss you and give you the shivers, because I'm a woman.
I am a woman in a room, the number's too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back to pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Oh, yes. I am I, but it's with the bone of pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained. If I had to, I can do anything. I am strong, I am invincible, I am woman.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. We're a show just here to talk about the headlines and the politics and things going on in our country today. And boy, there's an awful lot of news out there today. So feel free to call in and discuss at any point in time. Our number is 718-305-7176. And I was kind of begin my thing with all this upset that's going on in the Middle East, because it's just incredible to me that this administration keeps saying that the attacks in Libya weren't pre-planned. They were spontaneous action, and they had no clue they were coming in the face of the fact that these people had RPGs, and they did first and second wave attacks, and that there are multiple foreign sources telling us they had anywhere from 2 to 3 days notice, and the ambassador himself was afraid for his life, as well as his security team, who one of them had actually tweeted to a friend, you know, if he didn't die tonight. So people knew what was going on, and yet our government supposedly didn't. And the media, what does the media do? They go and they focus on Romney and the timing of a statement he made. They didn't have anything to say about the statement, because actually his statement is right. We should not be apologizing for free speech in this nation. We don't do that. We are Americans, and the First Amendment guarantees us free speech. And we as Christians know that it's not always nice what they're saying about us out there. Well, too bad. Get over it. And the immediate reaction is, it's because of this movie. It's because of this movie. Well, you know, half of these people hadn't even seen the movie. And then what happened after our government comes out and said it's because of this movie? We now have riots in 20 different countries across the world on our embassies, burning our flags, all the while that the White House, Jim Carney, is saying, this is not America. They don't hate America. This is about a movie. This isn't about America. They're burning pictures of Obama and American flags, but this is not about the United States of America. And then it spreads. I mean, it spreads, and then it went to Pakistan and India, and then there's guns fired in Pakistan and India. This president has managed to destabilize the entire Middle East with his foreign policy of appeasement. And we know it's his foreign policy because of the speech he gave in 2009, where he has apology tour, and how he said we were going to have better relations just because he was now president and he understood the Muslims. Well, Mr. President, we can go all the way back to the 1800s and Thomas Jefferson and the Barbary Pirates, and know that these people do not deal with the infidels, especially the extreme Islamic people. Now, you can't, and here's the epitome of stupidity. These are reasonable people. We can deal with these people, and yet they're out in the streets yelling death to America all over. And I watched this video. I thought it was really kind of silly and kind of stupid myself, and it sure wouldn't upset me if somebody did that about a Christian video, but over a stupid video, give me a break. If they want us to respect their religion, then they need to quit acting like animals in the streets, burning and stomping on little children who haven't got their way. You know, this is just totally ridiculous. And then they're demanding that the United Nations enforce a rule that nobody can blaspheme against their prophet Muhammad. Something wrong with this entire picture, folks. You know, especially when our president signs on to that kind of legislation with the United Nations, which he did do. What they're trying to do is make this a religion above all other religions across the world. They're trying to become a world religion, and this is not good for women, certainly not women. And all you people out there talking about a war on women and the Republicans that don't like women, you need to be looking at the facts of the picture of who is actually supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and how they treat their women. You need to look at what's going on in the Middle East and how these people react. And you need to wake up and know that here in America, there is no war on women just because your birth control isn't getting paid for. This country offers the most freedoms for the most people in all the countries across the world. And we have an obligation to our founding fathers to continue to uphold the Constitution, which guarantees the freedom of religion and the right to free speech and say whatever we choose when we choose. And if you don't like it, yeah, I can understand that. And we need to try to respect each other, but it's not going to happen. There's people out there that aren't going to respect what you say or what you do, no matter what. And you've just got to let that roll off your back. But to blame this on a video and then for 7 days deny, go on Sunday news channels and deny there was any planning to the attacks in Benghazi, because this is a critical one, people. 9/11, when we're going to be suspect to terrorist attacks, all embassies should be on high alert. All of our overseas staff should be on high alert. Why do we have an ambassador out there with minimal security in the most unstable of all countries, Libya, which doesn't even have a police force yet in all of their cities? This is a major failure on foreign policy on President Obama and his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. And what do? They deny it. Oh, this is all because of this movie. And where is our president? Have you seen him on TV reassuring the American people why all these riots are going on overseas? Have you seen him on TV reassuring Israel that we stand with them against these radical Islamic terrorists? Have you heard him call them a terrorist? No, you have not, and you will not, because unfortunately, he doesn't think they're terrorists. And that to me is just very, very, very frustrating. So that's kind of what I start my program off with today. And then it gets even better because they accuse Mitt Romney of politicking because he says we don't apologize for free speech and we don't apologize for being Americans, which is true. And I think most Americans would agree with. Well, now today, they whip out a video that you know they've been holding. They've been holding this video because it was taped in May. It was taped in May by Jimmy Carter's grandson, okay, at a fundraiser. So they've been holding on to it from May, you know, anticipating Romney being the nominee and just waiting to play it just so many days before the election, thinking that they've got him on something. Well, they didn't get him on anything. The man was telling the truth. Because as we all know, and most of you who listen to our shows here on Conservative Nation Radio and other shows on Blog Talk or even on Facebook or anywhere, Twitter, you know that 47% of Americans in this country do not pay taxes. Some of them pay no taxes, not even income taxes, because they're illegal immigrants who get money from the government. Some of them take the earned income credit, they're immigrants, and they claim like 12 kids on the earned income credit and send that money back to Mexico. The IRS knows they do this and does nothing to stop it. Okay? And he's right. The percentage is 47%. And he's not talking about the elderly. He's not talking about the people who are truly disabled and truly need help. He's talking about the people we're paying to stay home and have babies. And you have another baby, you get more money from the government. Oh, here's some more folks there. These are not people who are actually have worked and earned their retirement pay. Okay? Some of these people even are like my children because they work and they work hard and they get the earned income credit. And with that earned income credit, it gives them back everything they paid in. So virtually they pay no taxes. Okay, and I can guarantee you they're not voting for Obama. What we need to see, what the problem is there's too much government. Too much government. And this is what Mitt Romney was saying. And what he was saying in his speech is that he's never going to reach those people who think they're entitled to free money. I was a slave, therefore you owe me. Now, I know you've heard this, I've heard it. I am not racist, but I have heard this comment. To people who think they're entitled. Look at Occupy Wall Street. Pay our student loans for us. You need to pay this. You need to do this. All the while they're on their iPhones, you know, with their $400 shoes or whatever. But we got to pay for their college because we owe that to them. Now, this is a problem in this country, and we have two choices in this election. We have a man currently in office who thinks the answer is more government, more programs, more entitlements, less people paying into the tax system, taxing the so-called rich who already pay 10%, pay 70% of all the taxes. The top 10% in this country pay 70% of all the taxes in the government. The top 1% pays, I think it's 38% of all the government. They're already paying more. If they're paying that much and you got people down here paying zero, then I think the people not contributing their fair share are the people paying zero. So, again, if you want to call in and talk, the number 718-305-7176, and we'll talk about anything you want to. There's so much news out there today. It's hard for my mind even to process this. But I just flabbergast me that they're stuck on Mitt Romney's tax returns, which the ones he did release showed that he paid over $3 million in taxes. Okay? $3 million in taxes he's paid. And $4 million to charity. And I say to you, people saying he hasn't paid his fair share, he's paid enough for 441 people. And it takes 16.2 workers to pay for every one, to pay, you got a 16.2, I was reading, workers to pay for, I'm confused now, I forget what I was reading. But anyway, basically, it's up to 16.2 people working for every one person on disability, something of that sort. But it is just astronomical the way our government has gotten so far out of control with debt spending. And the biggest debt is not our military, contrary to popular belief, which, believe it or not, in this time of turmoil in the Middle East, with riots going on everywhere, Iran, within 6 months, says the Prime Minister of Netanyahu, of getting a nuclear bomb, we are gutting our military. We are gutting our military because this president has been a failure to lead and to bring together the people in Congress to get anything done. And so they agreed several years ago, they just do across-the-board cuts because they couldn't agree to cut ridiculous things like cell phones for poor people for free out, you know. And yes, this goes on. Just look it up. Type it in. Look it up. Nevada. If you're poor, if you're on food stamps, you can have these free cell phones. Yeah, that's a necessity for life, I guess, in this country. And they couldn't find any of these programs to make cuts in. So now they are gutting our military at a time when the world is very unstable. In Afghanistan, 9 people were killed again, I think, today. And that brings us to about 51 people who were killed by friendly fire because of our foreign policies in Afghanistan. Another failure, total failure on this president and his economic policies. But it gets better. It gets better yet. We're not even done yet because it gets better yet and out today. And, of course, many of us who are in the conservative area, we've noticed the bias on TV and the radio shows and the programs. And we have confirmation now and emails obtained under the Freedom of Information Act that show that Media Matters has been coordinating with the Department of Justice, trying to undermine Fox News and other conservatives, and trying to run the narrative. And instead of coming on to Fox News and presenting their view, because they would never do that, because, you know, Fox News actually asks questions which they would never be able to answer, they have been using Media Matters to try to discredit the reports coming out of Fox News. And this is just mind-boggling to me that they can get away with this. They used this on the Fast and Furious. They used this on the voter intimidation with the Black Panthers, which, by the way, they were threatening to do again. So I'm suggesting to anybody and everyone listening out there, if you live in an area where they may do this, get yourself some people and go stand out in front of them polls, because we will not allow this voter intimidation to go on again unchecked in this country. They have no right to threaten people trying to exercise their free right to vote. And our Department of Justice said that it can't be racist if it's a black-on-white crime. Now, and this is one of the stories that they covered up using Media Matters. There's 97% of the journalists, or 97% of them voted for Obama and vote Democrat of the media and the journalist out there. Are you seeing the picture? Well, we have 20 riots going on around the world. The only thing that the major news networks can focus on is Romney and the timing of his statement when he said, we don't apologize for free speech and for this nation. The timing, not the actual statement itself, but the timing, instead of reporting the news, which as of today, there's still distrust in the country. Foreign countries over this video that nobody knew about till our government blasted it all over the place that this was the reason for the attack in Benghazi, which has since, if you look at the actual facts, is not true. And they may actually come out and tell us that in a few days, and they're going to say, well, it was under investigation, so we didn't know. But you're hearing it here, folks. We've known for 7 days this was a planned attack. We know from the way it happened, and we know for a fact that our ambassador was not actually protected in that attack. So, and with that, I'm going to play right here. This is some Red Skeleton and about the Pledge of Allegiance, because the burning of the flags, and I think we here in America need to respect our flags and our symbolism.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools, too?
Isn't that that's just kind of chilling listening to that and see what's happening, how they've taken, trying to take that out of school, how they're trying to take under God out of that Pledge of Allegiance, and how divided we are as a country at this moment in time. And it's just kind of sickening, actually, when you think about it. I know as a child, we didn't have this kind of rancor between the parties. And this is a planned thing. This has been deliberately set upon to try to actually bring us down and bring us to this point, because united we stand, divided we fall. And I think we tend to forget that. We get so caught up in the rancor of the abortion debate, because we know, I know a lot of us, and I feel very strongly about this, you know, pro-life has always been one of my things, even from when I was a teenager. But we get so involved in that, that we have let their basic common good that we have as Americans go. And again, this is, some of this has been intentional. I mean, this is intentional, you know, from the communist agenda. They needed to create division. They need to create crisis. They need to promote this Occupy Wall Street. They need to recruit this culture of gimme, 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 especially if the government is to take over our lives, which is the ultimate goal of communism, Marxism, socialism, President Obama. He actually says that. Back in 1998, there's a video of him talking about redistribution. He also made this error in his 2008 campaign, talking to Joe the Plumber about redistributing wealth. And if you look at his idols per se, founding fathers, they also agreed in this philosophy of one good and all good, and it doesn't work. You know, this doesn't work. It's failed wherever it's been tried. Look at Greece. Look across the seas what's happening. And instead of admitting that it's wrong, and he can't admit it's wrong because this is so ingrained in him as part of who he is, he thinks that just because, you know, he says so, it's all going to be better. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen. But as we go on, and we're talking about more government intrusion in our lives, I was reading today, found this little story. Apparently, there's a U.S. Department of Agriculture funded by, there's new guidelines funded by Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010, legislation promoted by Michelle Obama. Basically, in your cafeterias, in your schools, they had to rework their menus to accommodate the new rules, serve more grains, more fruits and vegetables, less sugar and salt, and only low or non-fat milk. Okay. Well, the first problem I have with this is, what is the government doing telling my child what they can eat and when they can eat it? Apparently these kids in a high school in Wisconsin actually didn't eat because they were doing a strike on this lunch, okay? 70% of the kids boycotted lunch. But because they have this one kid, he's a football player, he's 6'3", he's 210, okay? And he's only allowed to eat 850 calories at lunch. And then he has to go to football practice and weight training. And he's burning around 3,000 calories, okay? And they increase the price. So not only have they told them how much they can eat, they've increased the price of how much they pay for that food. And we've got kids actually not getting enough, which can be dangerous, carbs, not getting enough food to carry them through their day. Because obviously boys are going to need more than girls. Obviously somebody who's playing football or doing sports is going to need more for calories to get through the day. And, you know, the government shouldn't be telling us what to eat or what food we can buy, which is where they're going next. They're going next. They'll go to the grocery stores. They've gone to McDonald's. You know, we have a McDonald's, I think, that's all vegetarian now. This is where they're going. They'll keep going. They'll keep going as long as we allow that to happen. Yet another story about what the government intrusion does. There's a school that has banned father-daughter dances. And this is in Rhode Island. It's in Rhode Island, it ended the traditional father-daughter dance because the longtime tradition violated the state's gender discrimination law. Gender discrimination law. You know, we have two genders. We have male and female. There is no other gender, whether they want to say there is or not. Father and daughter dances have been going on forever. If you don't have a father, oh well. What about mother-father breakfast? What about mother-father, you know, luncheons? What about, this is just absolutely ridiculous. The American Civil Liberty Union stepped in and sent a letter to the district demanding that all father-daughter and mother-son events be canceled. I think that's just sad. I think it's too much. And I think we've got to put a stop to this. We've got to put a stop to this craziness that has taken over our country to where you can't do anything because it's not politically correct, or we got to recognize this gender. We got to quit pandering is what we have to do. We cannot pander to the special interest groups. The government needs to get back to the business of national security, immigration, and dealing with foreign powers, and they need to quit muddling in our everyday lives because they are creating disastrous messes. And pretty soon, yeah, they'll be right in your home telling you, you can't eat that, you can't do that, you can't do this. And it's really, really time we need to put our foot down and say enough is enough. And so when Mitt Romney says, at a fundraiser, that he's probably not going to reach many of that 47% that's dependent on the government. He's probably not going to reach 47%, which is why you and I need to get the word out, and we need to get the voters out, and we need to get our friends out, and we need to get them to the polls, because the 53% outnumber the 47%. We go through another 4 years of this administration, that will not be so, because they just recently added... there's another record for Americans collecting disability, 8,786,049. Okay. Now, some of those people, granted, probably do need disability, and you know, it would have to be a case-by-case study, but how many of those people might not need that? It's something that needs investigation. But then again, you have, these are people who aren't working, who are taking money. And this was up from August, even these numbers coming out. And it's not going to end. It will never end. We'll have more and more people dependent on the government. The government will go broke because there's only so much tax money you can get out of everyday people. There's not enough rich people in the world to keep this country running. Well, so what do we do? What do we do for this country? That's probably your question, is what can we do? Well, what we're doing right now isn't helping, and what we're doing right now is we have stricter regulations. We have the EPA out there telling there's only, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. We have an open drilling in this company, and here coming out of Morganstown, West Virginia, coal producer Alpha Natural Resources said Tuesday it's cutting production by 16 million tons and eliminating 12,000 jobs company-wide, laying off 400 workers immediately by closing mines in Virginia, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. They start Tuesday, and the rest of the layoffs will be completed by the end of the first quarter after they fulfill their sales obligation. This is something President Obama has deliberately set out to do, was shut down the coal mines because he thinks it's dirty fuel. And this obviously is not working. So what do we need to do? And who has the plan to fix that? Well, number one, you can't operate, and we do operate, in a global economy. What do I mean by a global economy? We have to do business with other countries around the world. Some of them are friends, some of them they're not. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're not our friend, we shouldn't be doing business with you, because the repayment we get is what we're seeing over here in the Middle East, places like Egypt, where they deliberately set out to cause a disruption. It was planned. The Muslim Brotherhood didn't do anything to stop it. We saw on the second day they could have stopped it the first day if they so chose, but they did not choose to do that. But we need to focus on getting this country working again. We do that. The corporate tax rate here in this country is 35%. It is the highest corporate tax rate in the world. Okay? Now, this is a tax cut for the wealthy and for all the big corporations who make millions. But listen to me, people. They can go to any country they want. And they're not going to come to the one with the highest wages and the highest corporate tax rate and the highest regulations and the most red tape when they don't have to. So if you want jobs, you have to cut that corporate tax rate. Well, Romney's plan cuts it to 25%. So that's a 10% reduction, which is good. I think it probably needs to go even lower, but I'll take that 25%. And also, we have such a high tax rate. You know why we got so much American money offshore in the Cayman Islands. It's not just Mitt Romney. Pelosi's got money out there. I think Harry Reid's probably got money out there. Every billionaire, millionaire, everybody's got money out there. You know why they have it out there and not invested back into the United States economy? Because the tax on bringing that money back is ridiculous. And so they're not going to bring it back. We could have millions instantly added into our economy by dropping this tax rate for them to bring that money back and use it here in America. Now, why isn't that just common sense? When we can do that, when we can bring that back just by decreasing two numbers. But that's not all we need to do. We need to get rid of the overregulation. We need to get government out of the business of business. We need to shut this EPA down to get it down to the minimum requirement. Because believe it or not, folks, look how hot our summer was, and it ain't going to matter what you do in the United States, because honestly, I don't believe in global warming. Some of you may do, and some people will call me stupid because I don't, because it's quote science. It isn't going to make a difference. You know, the horses put out more carbon dioxide than our cars, but yet the government, this administration has a plan that all of our gas is going to be a certain mixture that's going to help with this, and our cars are going to be smaller. This is nonsense. This is government taking our money and trying to invest it in ways that they think is going to be best, and it's not. It's not. General Motors, Obama's plan, they want the government to get out. They want the government to sell their stocks. Well, Obama said no. And GM wants them to sell it because the government's busy. You know, these Chevy Volts were just a total disaster for General Motors. And they can't fire anybody, and they can't restructure because the government owns the company. And, of course, Obama doesn't want to sell it because he's going to sell it people are going to really know that we've lost $25 billion of taxpayer money in his great plan to revive and save the auto industry, which was General Motors. Sorry, but General Motors is not the only auto company out there. Ford did it by themselves without our taxpayer dollars. But anyway, so we have to get the government out of the business. We got to cut the regulations. We've got to cut the taxes. We've got to repeal this thing called Obamacare. This Obamacare is tax upon tax upon tax. And guess what, folks? If you got insurance now, you're mostly not going to have it, probably not going to have it later, because it's going to be cheaper for the corporation to drop the insurance plans and pay the fines rather than keep you on their plan. And then you're going to be stuck with government health care. Let me tell you, government health care, Well, pretty soon there's some doctors don't take Medicare patients. You know why they don't take care of Medicare patients? Because they don't get reimbursed near enough to even keep their office functioning. So what do you think that's going to do to the doctor and the patient relationship? Yeah, how long a line are you going to want to wait in? You know, are you going to be waiting until you die to get the care you need, which does happen in some of these countries overseas with their health care, because you're not going to have the doctors. I know a lot of doctors out there that are going to quit because it's just ridiculous, the red tape that comes with this thing, not just for doctors and hospitals, but there's a tax on the like the implant makers and the people that make the joints and make the devices, medical devices. They're going to put a tax on that. And they're going to tax people who have health care. So, in other words, if you're self-sufficient enough to have health care, they're going to tax you if it's over a certain rate. So tax. So basically, if you're responsible and taking care of yourself, which is the middle class, you're going to get hit by more and more taxes under Obamacare. So we have to repeal Obamacare. And here's the thing. They're out there saying, well, Obamacare is good because it covers people with pre-existing conditions. Well, look at Mitt Romney's plan, because they tried to make a deal out of this, too, when Mitt Romney said he liked a few things in Obamacare. Well, that was one of the things that he likes in Obamacare, and that is one of the things that will also be in the plan that Mitt Romney puts forth. And there's also a House bill that was put forth that this is actually in there. They will cover pre-existing conditions. And I think this is important because too many people, you know, if you've been diagnosed with a heart problem or cancer or something, you can't get insurance. So, you know, this is an important provision, but it will be in Mitt Romney's plan of health care. But Mitt Romney doesn't plan for the government to put its nose in and have panels of 16 people who are going to decide. See, this is Obama's plan for Medicare, okay? Because Medicare is going broke. And you hear the Democrats screaming and yelling about Paul Ryan's plan about vouchers, but they haven't put forth a plan. They were doing this under Bush, too, but they stopped his plan for, you know, private health insurance and pat themselves on the back, all the while not putting a plan on the table themselves. They have no idea what they want to do, except for now under Obamacare. This is where it gets good. This is where it gets really good. And, feel free to call in, anybody. I feel like I'm talking to myself here, but 718-305-7176. It gets really good because they have these panels. You remember these things that Sarah Palin called death panels, and they're like, oh, no, there's no death panels in this. Oh, no. But then we have Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we have to pass it to know what's in it. Oh, my goodness. I just, you know, thump my head here for that one. There is a death panel. It's a panel of 16 people who will decide if you're 70 or older and you show up at the hospital. They'll take it case by case and say you've had a stroke. Well, they will have to decide whether they're going to pay the hospital for your care or not. Now, anybody who knows anything about strokes or heart attacks or anything of this nature knows that you have to actually get your care right away because it's life-saving if you... Okay. I'm sorry. I had a message there. But if you want life-saving care, it has to be done within the first hour of, say, a stroke or a heart attack. Well, but we got to wait because we got to run it by this panel to see if they're going to pay for these procedures or not. That might save this person's life if you're over 70. And so what's going to happen? You're going to die. Well, so here's the Democratic plan. We'll raise the age of retirement age, and then when they're 70, we'll deny them care, and then we don't have a problem with Medicare anymore. You think that's far-fetched? I'm not so sure. So I think you need to be paying attention, people, because that's a scary thought. But that's the Democratic plan to deal with, you know, seniors is, you know, if you're 70 or over, your medical care goes into the hands of a panel of 16 people who are not elected officials, just appointees for the Obamacare plan, who will decide whether you live or die. say you're 70 and you get lung cancer. Well, you're going to die anyway, so no, we're not going to pay for it. They will have the right to do that. That is a death panel. That is a death panel. Not only will they have the right to do that for the elderly, but even people with disabilities. Because we know that they want to talk about viability, and that's a scary thought. So basically, to get this economy turned around, we've got to repeal this Obamacare, replace it with something that will bring our health care costs down, because we don't have a health care problem. We have some of the best technology, some of the best medical care in the world, but we have a health care cost problem. Part of that problem is the government involvement in healthcare, where it shouldn't be in the first place. Part of that problem is frivolous lawsuits. That's called tort reform. This will be in the Romney plan. Part of the problem is you can't currently buy your medical insurance across state lines. You can only buy within your state. So you have a monopoly on the healthcare, and that drives up the cost. And they need to have a way for individuals to buy in as a collective unit, as the same as what a business might do. And these are ways that will bring down the actual cost of health care, rather than providing, trying to provide your health care and having a say over when and where you can get your health care. So it's a much, much better problem plan. So we deal with the health care costs. We cut the red tape, we cut the regulations, we cut the tax rates, we get manufacturing jobs in here, we get people back to work. You get people back to work, you've got more income coming into the government to help deal with this debt. We're going to have to actually get in there and cut programs. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of programs doing the same thing in our federal government. And in fact, I imagine if we had a peek at the budget, we would all be like mind-boggled over the amount of money spent on thousands of people doing who knows what. We need to get education out of the federal government and get them out of the federal government, send it back to the state level, let the parents and the teachers work it out on their kids and their programs. Definitely get the government out of this food program. This is just ridiculous, feeding a 6'3", 210-pound kid 850 calories at lunch and expect him to go out and practice football after school. You know, that is not healthy. That is dangerous, in fact. But this is how explosive this government has become, and particularly under this president. And we wonder why we're, you know, under $16 trillion debt now. Of course, this is the same man that says you can't bargain with China if you're running a debt to China, and yet he's run the debt up 6 trillion times. So it's amazing how he can double talk out of both sides of his mouth. And the media just eats this up and just thinks he's the greatest, and I just don't understand. So anyway, anybody want to call in 718-305-7176 and help join me out. We'll discuss the latest headlines that are out there. There was armies exchanging fire in Kashmir, India today, between Pakistan and India. Part of this movie. I don't know that this movie. It's funny how you can blame one thing on a movie. But why they're calling it the movie, they're burning effigies of President Barack Obama, the man who said that the Muslims will understand, because he was a Muslim and he understands them. He doesn't have a clue, people. He doesn't have a clue. In fact, you know, Thomas Jefferson was we were dealing with the Barbary pirates back, you know, like I said, in the 1700s, and they were capturing our ships and holding our men for ransom and just doing whatever they wanted to. And we finally had to they were blackmailing for money. And finally we sent our Navy over there and we took care of business, because that's the only thing they do understand is strength. So it hasn't changed. You know, they're trying to say that it's because we don't understand, and we are actually causing the problem with our misunderstanding of their religion. No, people, no, it is not. No, we can see how reasonable they were not. And so I got people messaging. I'm going to have to cut off my Facebook because I got people messaging me, interrupting my thought processes, which is not hard to do. But anyway, we need to have a stronger foreign policy. We need to have peace through strength, like Reagan said and Mike Romney has said. We need to be a friend to Israel. This is another thing coming out from this May meeting. This May meeting where Jimmy Carter's grandson actually taped this, and they held it till right now because they thought it would hurt Romney. They're mistaken. The polls out today that 76% of the people agree with with Mitt Romney. But so this may be a good thing for Romney. But in this same meeting, he said there'll never be peace because the Palestinians don't want peace. And they're going to make a big deal out of this. But the truth is, the Palestinians don't want peace. The Arabs, the Islamic extremists want Israel gone. Iran says they want to obliterate them off the face of the earth. They don't say this lightly. It is the truth. You know, it is the truth. And every time you try to negotiate, the Palestinians don't want to give this and they don't want to do that. And the bottom line is Israel, you know, in the wars, they won the territory and they allowed the Palestinians to come back in there and live, which was a mistake on their part. And there will never be peace. The best you can hope for is to get some kind of truce, so that Israel is not under constant fire and bombardment from these countries. But what our administration also has done is Egypt used to have a peace treaty with Israel. And yes, the old ruler was a tyrant, but he did have his uses in this very unstable world. And yes, he's gone. And now they've torn up their contract with Israel. And so maybe you can understand a little bit of Netanyahu's actual frustration with this president and why he says this president doesn't back Israel. Actually, you know, I'm going to run this show a little bit short tonight. We're just going to cut this off here in a few minutes. But I'm going to tell you all out there, if you're listening, you need to go see the movie Obama 2016, because this movie will explain to you exactly where his philosophy comes from and what this man has in store for America. It's just a documentary. You know, it's not some big propaganda thing like they did with Bush, full of lies and misfacts. It's just a very thoughtful documentary. It's a very informative documentary. And I encourage you to get your friends. I encourage you to actually, neighbors, anybody you can get, anybody who might be thinking of voting Obama, take them to the movie. And then, actually, you have a chance if somebody's thinking of voting Obama. Because with the media out there, which we've just said, you know, early on the program, Media Matters is in cahoots with the DOJ on trying to bring down Fox News. And none of the media reporting the true news and more worried about something Romney said at a fundraiser than they are about the murders of an ambassador in Pakistan. That was the fault of this administration for not giving him the security he needed on 9/11, of no less. And they're not focusing on the real news and the real problems, because if they were, Obama would be down 20 points or more in the polls, which, by the way, today, the polls out today do show Romney in the lead. And we'll see how that plays out. I think we still have a lot of work to do, and we need to make sure we're getting the message out there to people on all the reasons why they should vote for this, for Mitt Romney over President Obama. Because despite what you might think, there are people out there who still think President Obama is a good president. I'm not really sure why. They call us liars and tell us that we're not telling the truth. And I don't know how you deal with that, because I, for myself, go out there and I research everything. I don't just take somebody's word for it. I look at it, I see it. And, you know, they put out this one poll that, you know, Fox News was just tells lies. So, you know, if you watch Fox News, you're not intelligent, and all this other malarkey that they put out there, yet they're the ones being fed the propaganda by these news media outlets who are trying to drive the narrative. And that's why we have so many shows like this one and others out there that are pushing back and saying, no more, we're not taking no more. So everybody can help with this election. They have at MittRomney.com, they have phone banking. If you're good at making phone calls and you want a phone call into other states where they got elections going on, just go in there and sign up for that, Mitt Romney. We got Patriot Voices by Rick Santorum. I think they're also going to be running a phone bank, getting out the message for people to call. So there's so many things you can be doing. You know, just put a bumper sticker or a yard sign out in your yard if you're not comfortable doing anything else. Make sure your family knows. Make sure your family's registered to vote. Let's make sure that we get, you know, the messages out there. I know I'm driving my Facebook friends crazy because I'm just pushing information like crazy. And some of them might not want to hear it. If they have to block me, they have to block me. That's okay, because this is too important of a matter for us to let go. We cannot allow the future of America that our fathers and our founding fathers fought so hard to bring to us and to give this gift to us of this free country and this great place to live. We want to save this for our children and for our grandchildren. And this is the election that we must do that, because there is a true choice here between, it's not just about abortion and not abortion. This is actually a choice between America as we know her, or going down the socialist path to ruination and taking with us all the free nations in the world. Because we are, look at what's going on. We are the leaders of the free world, whether we want that responsibility or not. That is us. Because nobody else has the power or the capability to do what the United States can do. And so we really need to get this message out, and we need to get this get Mitt Romney elected, along with Richard Murdoch here in Indiana and any other conservatives running in your state, because if we don't give him the majority in the House and the Senate, is going to be very hard for him to work, especially with a Harry Reid at the charge of the Senate, because right now he is blocking everything. All the bills coming out of the House are sitting on his desk because he will not introduce them to be voted on. And so we also have to focus on the Senate races. So if you have a Senate race going on in your state between a conservative and a Democrat, you want to make sure you want to get out there and help restore this country back to the greatness that that was imagined by our founding fathers. That's all I got to say. So you guys have a good night. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Women Patriots.
I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, 6 times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and that the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that.
Thanks again, everyone, and have a good night.